And we're going to look at, pick up where we left off in Revelation 4 for just a couple of minutes, all right? I promise you, I'm not going to be long like normal. I promise you I won't. Because we can just pick up next week where we left off this week. Amen? Revelation 4 is where we're at. And we've been there a long time in this chapter. We will get through the whole book. Believe it or not, if the Lord tarries, He's coming. If He don't, then we'll just go there and we'll already know it. Amen? This morning on the way over here, I was talking to Alan, and somebody had handed him a note, and he felt compelled to read it to me. And I'm going to share it with you because it kind of puts a capstone on why that I feel at times somewhat frustrated, and I know our pastor experiences this, and anybody that stands to declare God's word at any time experiences a little bit of frustration. Here's what the note said. I can explain it to you. I cannot comprehend it for you. Did you hear that? I can explain it to you. I cannot comprehend it for you. There's two elements to that. One is a literal element. We have it right here. The written letter of the Word of God. There is also attached to this the Spirit of the Word of God. I've said this. This is a simplified form, but listen to this real close. You will never be able to understand the Word of God unless you know the author of the Word of God. It will just be jumbled up messages in your mind. You won't be able to make a cohesive pattern out of it. And God does speak in patterns. He does all the way through the Word. And so when you're approaching God's Word, you have to approach it from the Spirit as well as the letter. And we've talked before, years ago, we used to preach that there needs to be a marriage between truth and spirit. That's what Jesus was talking about when He said, there will come a time when on this mountain no one will worship Me either. He said, but the Father is seeking those that will worship Me in spirit and in truth. What we had this morning was a presentation about truth and what it costs to simply stand for truth. Not debating what truth is, just simply telling what is obviously true can cost you something. Well, can I tell you, it'll cost you something to understand the truth of God's Word. It'll cost you investment in the Spirit of who God is. And the Bible says God is a Spirit. He is Spirit. Therefore, we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So I can explain to you the letter of the Word. I cannot, therefore, though, comprehend it for you. That takes the work of the Holy Spirit who has been sent here to guide us into all truth. Everybody say amen. Just a brief introduction statement or two about Revelation 4 that I've said before to kind of set our minds right. Revelation chapter 4 is about a scene in heaven around the throne of God. Now, how many of you are familiar with the term the throne of God? We have used it in more or less cliches in church life where you hear preachers preach and man, there'll be a thunderous amen. God is still on the throne. And everybody will thunderously say amen. But I wonder at times how many people understand that statement. God is, in fact, on the throne. What proceeds out of the throne, sometimes we're a little off on. And to understand that, you have to understand how to rightly divide the word of truth. How many of you realize that right now we're living in what's called the day of grace? Some describe it as a dispensation of grace. That's a pretty good term, the term dispensation. The term dispensation is a Bible term. However, it can be misused if you're not careful. We're living in the dispensation of the grace of God right now. And those that's in what's called the dispensational movement, what that's about is it's a systematic approach to studying the Bible, broken down into dispensations. But what the main thrust of that thought process is, they make it about time. Now, we've talked about time here so much. Matter of fact, if you go back to the incorruptible crown, how many of you remember the incorruptible crown? Here's what we discovered. An incorruptible crown is not a crown in time. It's a crown in eternity. Anything time touches, time corrupts. Okay, but the incorruptible crown is in eternity. Now, let's just make a practical application about this. Again, this morning the presentation was about truth, right? Let me tell you what the essence of truth is. Truth is pieces of eternity placed into time. That's all it is. That's what truth is. It's pieces of eternity placed into time. God can give you eternal life. The substance of eternal life is based on a truth. It's a piece of eternity placed into time that lifts you out of the dimension of time into eternity. And you've heard us talk about before how that the only way to really live victoriously right now in time is to live with an eternal vision instead of a time vision. Everybody say amen to that. So in approaching this dispensation of time, we need to understand that the term dispensation don't necessarily have to do with time as much as it has to do with what God is dispensing. You with me? On Mount Sinai, God dispensed or gave out the law. At Calvary, preparation was made to dispense or give out grace. And the writer puts it this way, now we can approach His throne right now to find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. Everybody say amen to that. However, Revelation 4 and 5, which includes us, it's about a scene in heaven when we get there, okay, and it's describing that, but it's also setting the stage for something else to proceed out of the throne of God. It is a change of what's being dispensed, and what God is fixing to dispense from the throne after Revelation 4 and 5 is judgment and wrath. Be sure that that's coming. I know a lot of people don't like to hear it. However, it is the mandate of God that it be said. As a matter of fact, if you want to know the truth, the entire message of repentance is all about wrath. How many of you understand that unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God? Hell is his destination unless he receives Jesus Christ as his Savior. How many of you would like to be told of the consequences of your behavior before you commit the act? That's what when we say, you know, we're going to give out a message of love, there's a reason for that. It's because unless we give out that message of love, then destruction will follow. And if all you talk about is the love and not the destruction, then the love has no effect at all. Are you with me? Everybody shake your head. That's why there's all of these various doctrines now that is rising up among teachers and preachers of the Bible. It's based out of a lack of understanding, but it arrives at different consequence and conclusion than what the reality of truth tells us. For example, here's a very popular point of view now, is that in the end, it's not going to make any difference because after all, God is a God of love. He's going to save everybody in the end. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thought? But it's not true. Well, a loving God would never send anybody to hell. He never has. And He never will. And that part's true. But men choose to go there. Everybody say amen to that. So set before us all today is the way of life or death. You make the choice, God says. God says, I'll provide life. If you stay as you are, you will produce death. So we can either find grace and mercy, or judgment is sure to follow. Everybody say amen to that. That same truth that is given to an individual is also given to a community, a state, a nation, and a world. And in our study of the book of Revelation, I've told you there's many ways to break it down. We broke it down in time. John, write the things you've seen, past, write the things which are present, write the things which shall be hereafter, future. So you can break it down into time. You can also break it down into how Jesus reveals Himself, because after all, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. You might want to pay attention to how Jesus reveals Himself to the lost or to those that reject Him. You might want to give that some attention, because it gets so bad that eventually people cry out for the rocks and the mountains to cover them and hide them from the face of God, because the great day of His wrath is come, they say, and who shall be able to stand? I get a big kick out of the prepper community, and I believe in preparation. I think that we are to prepare. As a matter of fact, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. We know Jesus went to prepare a place. So we know that preparation is significant. But can I tell you, there is no amount of preparation you can make that's going to cause you to stand against the wrath of God that is going to be poured out on the earth. There is no amount of preparation that you can make that will cause you to survive during that time with any semblance of sanity. Everybody say amen to that. As we go through the book of Revelation, you'll learn that. So when we approach Revelation 4, it's important to me and significant to me that you understand that the scene around the throne of God is a season of change. Right now, you find grace and mercy to help in time of need. But the day is coming that what proceeds out of the throne of God will be wrath and judgment. That leads us to this verse of Scripture from Revelation 4. We're going to be here a while. I can tell you that, okay? Over the following weeks, we're going to be in this verse a while. Here's what it says, Revelation 4, verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Listen to that. This is what's coming out of the throne in Revelation 4. Out of the throne proceeds lightnings and thunderings and voices. I want to pause here and ask you a question. How many of you believe God is all powerful? How many of you believe that we have yet to comprehend all of His power? Just consider for a moment the creative power of God. The universe being so vast that we can't even scratch the surface of the knowledge of the universe that He has created. More and more discoveries goes on in the scientific world and in the scientific community. More and more discoveries are made, and still we can't scratch the surface of the vastness of the universe that God has created. As complicated as life on earth is, by the way, you do realize earth is just hanging out there on nothing. Doesn't that give you a sense of security? Yeah, that's right. See, there's nothing. We're floating out there on nothing. But the Bible tells us what holds the earth on its axis. It is the continual speaking of the Word of God. As a matter of fact, and here's what that tells you. Listen to this. If God's ever said anything, He's still saying it. That's the power of His spoken word. You've heard me tell you this before. When God stepped out and said, "Let there be light," that's our translation for our understanding. But actually, that's not what the original text wrote. When Moses penned it, Moses wrote it this way: "And God said, light." Conclusions have been made and speculation as to God didn't ask permission for light to shine. He is light. And when He spoke light into existence, the power of that word is still speaking light into existence. You want to know when the lights is going to go out? When God stops speaking it. Now, why is that important even in our political world? I'm going to start wrapping it up now, okay? I ain't even got started, but that's okay. Listen to this. Watch this. Do you realize that when God spoke things into existence, His continual word is still speaking it? And to the climate change agenda, here's when the earth is going to melt away. When God says it's going to melt away. Not 1 second before. Not 1 second after. And it don't matter how many cows is in the field. It's not going to rush God's timetable. Everybody say amen to that. Oh, why don't God's people care about the earth? God's people do care about the earth. That's why we preach, get ready. The King is coming and the curse will be removed. Then there'll be a new earth. I think that's a better environmental plan. Don't you? Now watch this. All of these things that affect us in our, even in our political world today, is bringing us to this change of scene in heaven. It's bringing us to a time when what's going to proceed out of the throne of God are lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Revelation 4, 5. Can I tell you, that's not the first time that you'll see that in the Word of God. Let me read to you some scriptures and then real briefly, I'll just read the verses and then we'll pick up there next week. All right? I want you to listen to this. In Exodus 19, verse 16, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud so that all the people that was in the camp trembled." This was when God gave the law. I need everybody to pay attention to me. Okay, wave up here at me. Say, "My goodness, Haley, you're pretty." Listen to this again. Moses goes to the mount to get the law, and here's what's said. "There were thunders and there were lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount." Remember Revelation 4, 5. What proceeds out of the throne of God? Thunders, lightnings, voices. Hear this. "There were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain. The voice of the trumpet," get this part, "exceeding loud." I need to point this part out. God is not a quiet God. And I know there's a lot of people in church that wants it quiet. "Can't you just chill out?" All that stuff, you know. I don't need to be yelled at. I've heard that before. I was preaching up in Maryland one time and some woman told me, she said, "You know, God's not deaf." And I said, "He ain't nervous neither. Not like He's taking a Xanax." Right? Can I tell you, heaven's going to be a loud place. And did you know that when Jesus comes in the middle of the air, He's going to shout so loud that the graves are going to burst open and the dead are going to rise. So don't get too weirded out over noise in church. I honestly, truthfully believe, matter of fact, I can prove this to you in the Word of God, God uses loud noise all the time. He expects His people to be loud. Did you know that? When they marched around the walls on the seventh day, He didn't say, "And when on the seventh day, I want you to whisper." He said, "I want you to shout." It implies noise. Heaven is a noisy place. And when God speaks, It's with thunders and lightnings and many voices. As a matter of fact, the psalmist says his voice is as the voice of many waters. Listen to what's said, and we're going to run into this same statement later on in our study of the book of Revelation. It begins in Revelation 4. That's why I want you to get the scene around the throne, and we'll start finishing here, but watch this. Listen to this. In Revelation 16, it says, "And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great." That's coming. And it proceeds out of the throne of God. What I'm telling you is that God is so sovereign that you will not change His plan. And when God speaks, He speaks with such authority that it changes things here on planet Earth. It is God that changes the spiritual atmosphere and the physical climate of planet Earth. He's in control of that. That's why lightnings and thunderings are together with voices. Now watch this. It didn't say in Revelation 4 or 5, if you go back to that verse, it didn't say there was lightnings and thunderings and a voice. It says there were lightnings and there was thunderings and there were voices. And then the rest of that verse says, "And there were seven lamps of fire and the seven spirits of God." What this verse is going to lead us into is a study on the voice of the spirits. And it's a very practical teaching all through the Word, what the voice of the spirits are all about. Several months ago, we started in the spirit world. It's what led us into this book of Revelation teaching. I'm extending the teaching in chapters 4 and 5 because I have to. You have to be prepared with good foundation before you can get into chapter 6. And I want to be responsible with that, because once you get into chapter 6 through 19, what is unfolded about the revelation of Jesus Christ will bring such fear to you if you're not full of faith that you'll respond the way they did at Mount Sinai. The people said to Moses, "We want to hear from God too. You hear from God, we want to hear from God." Moses said, "I think that's a great idea." He goes to God and says, "God, the people want to hear you. They don't want to hear me, they want to hear you." That didn't please the Lord. But God said, "Okay, here's what do. Tell them to sanctify themselves, wash their clothes, get clean. And tell them, don't touch the mountain. And on the third day, I'll come down and speak to them." So they followed the prescription. You got to understand that their motive was, "We want to hear from God because we're tired of hearing from Moses." Okay? That's exactly where a lot of people in the church are today. That's why you have this stuff floating around that, where people say, "Hey, I'm not interested in your truth. I want my truth." Let me tell you something. There's only one truth. And what people are saying is, "I'm tired of being taught. I want to hear from God myself." Okay, watch this. "I believe in the priesthood of the believer." We went through that early in chapter 4. But watch this. "So, on the third day, God came down and spoke. And when He did, there was thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the people trembled and they was in fear. And they cried out to Moses and said, 'Moses, you go hear from God and we'll hear from you.'" I finish with this. We're living in a time where I can explain it to you. Pastor can explain it to you. But we can't comprehend it for you. You have to be willing to submit to the truth of the Word of God. I find that it's interesting to me that a lot of people are willing to submit to the truth. They just don't want to expend the energy to learn the truth. I didn't get this far in the teaching, but if I had, I would have mentioned these things. I would have just said this. There's a reason why people shun from the truth. There are a group of people who don't want to hear truth, because they know they're going to have to change their life if they do. There's yet another group of people that don't want to hear truth because they already think they know it all. There's another group of people who don't want to hear truth because they have more respect for those that's telling lies than they do from those that's telling truth. To the largest demographic of those three groups, I fear that they're going to be here when the thunderings and the lightnings and the voices issue wrath from the throne to planet Earth. And all that is recorded in Revelation 6 through 19 will become a living reality on this planet for those that dwell on the earth to go through. There's only one way to escape that. It's to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To invite Him into your heart. Allow Him to be your Savior. Amen. And then grow into His Lordship. As you are conformed into the very image of Christ. Thank God our Lord doesn't expect us to come already mature of mind. He just says simply, humble yourselves and I'll teach you and I'll develop you and grow you into the Lordship of Christ. It's the only way to escape it. How many of you have heard what I've said? Let's bow for prayer. Father, we're just getting started into this study of the voice of the spirits, and there are so many things to cover. I'm asking for your guidance as we delve into this subject. Lord, teach us about the Holy Spirit and teach us what it is that flows from the person of the Holy Spirit to equip us with all truth. Please teach us that. Give us insight, Lord, on what the seven spirits of God are that's around the throne. God, I pray that you'll teach us truth from that we'll never forget. And Lord, there might be somebody here today that's played the church game their whole life and they really don't know you as Savior. They're not moved by truth. They're not moved by your presence. But yet they have no idea they are being manipulated still by a spirit. It's just not your spirit. God, we're asking that the spirit of darkness be swallowed up with light. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. We're asking, Lord, that the spirit of hatred be swallowed up with love. The spirit of pride be swallowed up with humility. With the spirit of stubbornness, may it be removed and replaced by a spirit of repentance. Lord, it's our prayer that you'll teach us how to be governed by your spirit. And our flesh be under submission as merely an instrument, a tool in your hand to be used by you. May we feel your presence and your love, and may it change us forever. I wonder if there's anybody here, and I'm asking because I feel compelled to, if I wonder if there's anybody here right quickly that would just slip your hand up and say, I want you to pray for me that I'll yield more of myself to the Lord because I feel like that God's calling me to that right now. There's one, there's another, look at the hands, Lord Jesus. Father, you see all of our hands go up. We want to be more yielded to you. We want to give more of ourselves to you. May this day mark the beginning of a transformation that will cause us to grow and develop into what you would have us to be. And thank you, Lord, for the honesty. Maybe there's somebody here to say, you know what, I'm not even sure I'm saved. I want you to pray for me. Is there one that'd slip your hand up and just say, I'm not sure. I don't know. I really don't know. Is there one anywhere? Lord, I really feel like there's somebody here like that. And God, I'm praying that you'll give conviction and a drawing that they would make sure of their salvation before it's eternally too late. Show them their life as it is, and show them their life of what it can be. And we give you praise for that. In Christ's name, amen and amen.